Well, good evening. Happy to see everybody that's come out tonight. Happy to be here myself. It's got a lot of rumbling and grumbling going on, but hopefully we'll all be all dry and safe in here. You would turn with me to James chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 2. James chapter 3, begin with verse 2. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wherever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire killeth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Very familiar reading, I'm sure, to all of us, about the tongue and about how that our tongue is very unruly and how it does many things that it shouldn't do. Sadly enough, though, our tongue very often is driven by what's inside of us. Our tongue, and what comes out of our mouth, is that which is within our heart. You know, Jesus told the disciples, he said, it wasn't what went into a man that defiled him, it's what came out of a man that defiled him. Because out of the heart came sin. And you know what? When we speak and do things that we shouldn't say and things that we shouldn't do, it all comes from our heart. But the thing you want to think about our tongue and what we say. And I've got a little sign next to my desk at work, and this is exactly what it says. It says, "Before you speak, think. Think before you speak." And just a very simple graphic, a simple thought, simple five questions of whether or not I think before I speak. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. And hopefully we can gain an understanding of what it is to speak well. First thing we have to ask ourselves is it true? A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. When we say things, is it true? That seems like it would be a very simple, straightforward question. Is it true? But nowadays it seems like people just don't want to tell the truth about things. It seems that they want to cloud things up. They want to make things bigger or worse or better or whatever it is they're trying to do. They don't want to tell the truth. "A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall perish." God doesn't put up with lies very long. You know, we all think about politicians. At least I think about politicians when I think about liars. And the thing you'll notice about politicians is they always get caught in that lie. Always. It may take a few years, but they always manage to get caught. Proverbs 12:19, "The lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment." Truth lasts throughout eternity. Do you realize that? Truth is truth, and it will remain truth, and it stays truth. In the 22nd verse, he said, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." You know, there's really often a temptation for all of us to mislead or at least maybe not tell the complete truth if it looks like it's going to be hurtful to us. You ever notice that? Honesty is the best policy. even if it hurts at first, it's still the best policy, because in the end, you don't have to worry about what you said. You don't have to worry about what lie you told, whether or not you remember what you told. And it's not going to come out later and cause more trouble. It's always better just to simply tell the truth. We tell that to the kids, and it's a fact when we get older, is to tell the truth. You know that little sign you see sometimes that everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that, and there's a lot of truth because that's what we tell children in kindergarten. We tell them, tell the truth, whether it hurts or not. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Now, when it comes to truthfulness, too, we need to understand that sometimes we make promises that we have no intention of keeping. When we do that, what is that in reality? That's a lie. You know, there's times that we just simply can't keep our promises, whether it's beyond our control or circumstances change to the point where we just can no longer deal with what's going on. But the fact is, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he said, if you're going to make a promise to God, keep that promise, whether it hurts you or not. Whether it is the pain for you, whatever it is, because what happens is when you make a vow, you make a promise to God, and then you don't keep it, you're a fool. In God's eyes, you're foolish, because why would you promise God something and not do it? That's not very bright at all. It's not. It's really not to make promises to God and then not keep them. You know, we all have things we can think of where we make promises and we can't keep them. That's one thing. But when you make a promise to God, you better keep it. Just better keep it. Next thing is it helpful? Is it helpful? Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. You know, there are some conversations that it's best to avoid. There are certain words now that we have banned in our van, thanks to their repeated use over the 1,900 miles that we've driven in the last 4 or 5 days. Is it helpful? If it's not helpful, don't speak it. Don't put it out there. Don't say it. And also, you know, is it something that we need to be talking about to begin with? You know, things have gotten, and I never ever thought it would come to this, but things are a lot worse than they were when I was a kid. And even when I first started preaching, there is no way that I would have said the word pregnancy from the pulpit. I just wouldn't have done it. Some of them little old ladies with the blue hair, you know, I know they'd have shot me daggers if I'd have said that. And rightly so. But the thing is, you know, as our society changes and gets looser and laxer, things become less provocative, less inflammatory, less problematic because of what's going on around us. But that still doesn't change what's coming out of our mouth. It still doesn't alter the fact that if it's not helpful, if it's not something that we should be talking about, if it's not something that matters in any way, maybe we should keep our mouths quiet on that particular topic. You know, I find that is the hardest thing in the world is for some people is to not talk about certain things. And I know it'll just kill a kid when a kid wants to tell you something and you say, no, just stop. No, stop. I don't want to hear. No, just stop. That is one of the worst things you can do to a child, I think. At least they think it is. Is it helpful? Is it something you should even be talking about? Proverbs 11:12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, do you tell something to somebody that will make them feel better? Or do you tell something to someone that will make you feel better? There used to be a lady on the radio, I think her name was Dr. Laura or something like that. She finally got run off the radio because she spoke so much truth about, you know, people living together and people that didn't take care of their children and people that didn't act like they ought to act. I think they finally run her off the air. But the fact of the matter is, she used to say that when somebody called her up, hey, I need to tell so-and-so about this. And she said, is that for them or is it for you? Because if you know something and you know that it's going to break somebody's heart, or you know that it's going to cause them pain, or you know that it's something that they don't know about and they don't need to know about, why would you tell them? To make yourself feel better? Don't work that way. Is it helpful for them? Is it helpful at all? You know, there's a difference between telling the truth and telling everything you know. There's a big difference. Sometimes it's better just to refrain. A man of understanding, he says, holdeth his peace. Sometimes it's not well. If I see, you know, if I see Brother Danny coming out of a liquor store, I see him with a bottle in his hand, and I think, that is not Brother Daniel. And I'll go up to him and I'll say, hey, what's going on? And we'll talk about it and we'll figure out what's going on. It's probably maybe my back's hurting so bad I finally give up. I don't know. But, you know, you think about that. Now, I know what he's done, and it's all right there, right? I got him. Now, am I going, hey, Mike, guess what I saw Daddy doing the other night? No, a man of understanding holds his peace when it's not hopeful. Well, yeah, if it was an ongoing thing, I saw him every Friday night. I don't know why I'd be at the liquor store every Friday night. But if I saw him and it was a repeated thing, then maybe I'd need some help dealing with it. But no, that's not something that we just blurt out to everybody we come across. And you know what I'm talking about. You know people that do things like that. It's not helpful. It is just not, simply not helpful to tell everything you know all the time. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, you end up hurting somebody's reputation. People stir up trouble for no other reason than just to stir up trouble. Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That goes back to what I just said about, you know, seeing something, knowing something about somebody. Sometimes it's better to cover a transgression than it is to tell people about it. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood and fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Love going out in summertime and burning some wood. Love it. Go out there, roast a weenie, sit around, have Fred, watch Fred try to kill himself with fireworks after dark. I love it. It's my thing. Tell you something, that fire burning, 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 till you quit putting wood on it. And then you know what? It goes out. May take a little while, but it'll go out. And something I learned from my father-in-law was that wood does not burn when you just have one stick. I don't know if you've ever tried that or not, except for possibly a fire log, you know, that's soaked with oil or something. One log does not want to burn. It takes two. Now we say, well, what's that? Well, as wood is to a fire, so is a talebearer. So is what? They need an ear to put the tail in, or there is no talebearer. Have we thought about that? You know, it may be just as much of a sin to listen to that stuff as it is for them to tell it. Do you ever think about that? You know, when you know this person over here is telling you stuff that they don't need to be telling, and you don't need to be hearing, had you ever considered saying, you know what? Maybe it would be best if we didn't discuss that. There's a novel idea. Maybe it'd be best if we didn't. He that covereth transgression seeks love. He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. I know there's times, you know, when we need to get sin out there. When somebody does something that's wrong and it needs to be told. I'm not talking about times like that. I'm talking about when we just know about something. Doesn't mean we need to tell it. If it hurts the reputation, if it hurts the credibility, and it doesn't need to be spoken of, then why say anything at all? Shouldn't we rather try to build people up, to encourage them, to help them, and not tear them down? Now, my favorite one is when somebody finds out something somebody did 40 years ago. Big deal. I've done a lot of stuff 40 years ago I'm not proud of, too. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Does it help enough? Does it put does it lift the spirit? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Did you know that's why we come to the assembly, is to exhort one another, to inspire one another, to sing songs to one another, to teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking and making melody in our heart to the Lord, edifying one another, building one another up in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that's why we come together? It's not anything that God needs from us. It's what we need. We need it. Hebrews 13:3, but exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One another daily. Exhort one another. Build one another up. Edify one another. Inspire one another. A fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Anybody ever say anything, and it just hit you like a baseball bat in the gut? Yeah. You know that little ditty about, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's a lie. That's not true. We tell children that in the hopes that they'll kind of shake it off. But it's not true. A fool's lips enter in contention. His mouth calls for... You know, there's once in a while that somebody will say something and they just need a good swift fist to the mouth. I'm sorry, but it's truth. Some things just don't need to be said. And that's what Solomon said. He said, look, there's times a fool's mouth will get him destroyed. They're like wounds. So are we wounding people, or are we inspiring people? Are we building up, or are we tearing down? What are we doing? What are we doing with our words? There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Chapter 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Isn't that the truth? The right words, somebody speak the right words, they tell you the right thing, they say the right thing, it's health to your bones. It just builds you up. Every day we come back in contact with somebody. We come in contact with our friends, our teachers, our employers, our family. everybody. And what we say to them can not only help them, but it can affect them either positively or negatively. It can either help or it can hurt. I knew I worked for a woman one time, and she, the worst thing in the world, I don't know why this woman would do that. Every once in a great while, she'd pick on me when you come to work. You know, she'd walk in the door, "Are you okay? You don't look good. Do you not feel good? What's the matter? Are you sure you're okay? You don't look good." Then she'd see you in the hallway. "Are you okay? Are you sure you're..." You know, and I tell you what, she'd make you figure out things. What's wrong, you know? I know people, she do that too. They get sick, go home. What the thing in the world wrong with them? "Are you okay? Are you sure?" Is that inspiring? No. No. Maybe she thought she was helping. Maybe she thought, well, you know, I don't want to feel bad and have to work and all that. I'll make sure they know they can go home. I don't know what she was thinking. But I do know that once you say something, you can't ever get it back. You cannot get it back. I know you've all heard that story of that young man, and he wanted to know how he'd get his words back. And he went to the old fellow and he asked him, he said, "How can I get my words back?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Cut a hole in the end of your feather pillar and set it on your porch and come back in the morning and I'll tell you." And so he cut a hole in the end of his feather pillow and he set it on his front porch and he went to bed. Storm came up that night and the next morning there was feathers everywhere. He went to the old man and he said, "I don't know what that pillow was about," but he said, "My pillow's gone." He said, "There's feathers everywhere." He said, "But how do I get my words back?" He said, "Go gather up your feathers and I'll tell you how you can get your words back." He said, "I can't." He said, "There's no way I can go get them all." He said, "And that's your answer. That's your answer. You can't get them back. Once you say something, it's gone. Man, it's got a life of its own. It's out there flying, and you're not getting it back." I don't know how many of you ever met Brother Bill Adams. He used to be a well-respected feller up home, preacher of the word, and elder. And we saved because he's around Becky so much, but he was really slow to save. You ask him a question, he'd stop, he'd puzzle on it for a while, and then he'd find an answer. And it used to be kind of aggravating when I was younger, because I'd ask him a question, and I'd have three or four questions I wanted to ask him, and I wanted him to move so I could ask him these questions, and he'd be thinking about it. And then I found out later, in later years, when we got a little closer and I got a little older, and I found out that he had all his life struggled with his temper. He all his life struggled with saying things he shouldn't say. And as he got older, he got to the point where he thought about what he said before he said it. Kind of running over in your head once or twice. Am I getting ready to hurt somebody's feelings? Am I getting ready to say something I shouldn't say? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'd much rather hear somebody be quiet for a few seconds than for them to blurt something out that didn't need to be blurted. Inspire. Do we inspire with our words? Is it necessary? Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. What is the sacrifice of fools? Well, it's the opposite of being ready to hear, isn't it? So be speaking. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. I love it when people feel like they can take anything at all to God. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be careful for nothing, everything. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I understand that and I believe that. But there's times that, you know, we got to understand that God is in heaven and we're not. God is God and we are not. We are on the earth. Therefore, we really should sometimes let our words be few. particularly when you're angry with God. Remember that He is God and you are not. Particularly then, let your words be few. Let your words be few. Don't be hasty to utter anything before God. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That almost makes you want to just shut up completely. Sure does me. Every idle word, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Why would our words justify us or condemn us? Because they are driven by what's in our heart. If we are of a mind that we want to talebearer, that we want to tear people up, that we want to cause strife and division and trouble, then that's because that's what's in our heart. If we are of a mind that we want to heal, that we want to bring people together, that we want to make brethren happier together, then that's what's in our heart. It comes out. I don't think the Lord is looking for us to say something stupid and then condemn us for it. Not at all. But what it's saying is that we have our mouth saying what's in our heart. And so we need to check that. We can't help having an evil heart. You know, we think we're pretty good people, and most of us are. But, you know, we can't. We can't help the fact that we've got an evil heart. We need to check it. We need to bring it under control. It's like our tongue. Bring it under control. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. His tongue talketh of judgment. Those are the things we need to be talking about. Those are the things that are necessary. And lastly, is it kind? Is it kind? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as ye do. He said, I know you're doing these things. I know you're trying to comfort each other. I know you're trying to build one another up. He said, just keep on doing it. Just keep on. Keep on after it. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to show concern for other people. We need to help them and encourage them to do their best in every area of life. We need to look for good character traits and point those out. And when we're busy looking for good character traits and pointing out those good character traits, then we'll be less likely to have time to point out all their faults and their shortcomings and stuff that's easy to see. You know, people a lot of times don't need anybody to tell them what they're doing wrong. Now, I'll just be real honest with you. I don't need you to tell me that I'm fat. I know that. I understand that. I understand that. I understand that's a shortcoming. I understand that I need to work on that. I need things I need to do. I also know I've been fighting all my life, and I don't need you to tell me that. That's fine. You know, I'll listen to you if you got something important to say about it, but how is that helpful, really? I just got double thumbs up. How is that helpful? It's not. It's not helpful at all. You know, at some point, whatever it is that a person has as their shortcomings, we need to understand that they more than likely already know it. The question is, what can we do now to encourage them? What can we do to help? You know, you're a good organizer, so let's have you organize some things. Let's have you do this or that. You know, I really appreciate, you know, what you said the other day. I really appreciate you coming to such and such. I really appreciated, you know, how you picked up the puppy. You know, whatever it is, there are good things that people do in front of us all the time. We need to be more ready to encourage and to talk about those things than we are to discourage. I hate people that always see nothing but trouble. Everywhere they look, the world is coming to an end. You know, it's like the gravestone that says, "See, I told you I was sick." You know, well, yeah, eventually we're all going to pass away. I get that. But, you know, in between the two, there's time. And there's things that we can do to edify one another, build each other up, minister grace to the ears. Minister grace to the hearers. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalm 141 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Multitude of words, you're going to say something eventually. It's not something you should be saying. So how should we use our words? What should we do? This is what a lot of people refer to as the golden rule, right? "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." All right, how does that apply? We should treat people the way we would like to be treated. Now, this often has a direct benefit of the fact that people tend to treat people the way they treat them. So there's a reciprocating effect. If I treat somebody well, the chances are good that they're not going to be ugly to me. All right, so if I treat them well, chances are really good that I'm going to get that in return. Also now, our manner of speech, the way we talk, the things that we say, our encouragement to one another. If we're honest, if we're sincere, if we're striving to encourage one another and to build one another up and to motivate each other to do better, then they are going to reciprocate that. It'll return back. Everything is like a mirror in life. I find that more and more and more. Everything you do comes back. And even Jesus, he said that, you know, how we judge people, that's how we'll be judged. You know, he talks about that as a reciprocating thing. And this is how we should use our words. However we want people to treat us, that's the way we need to treat them. So if you want people picking at you, if you want people telling you every little thing you've done wrong, if you want people, you know, going and telling and whispering and telling everybody in the church the latest problem that you've had, then you just go and do that. And that'll come right back at you. But be aware that the Lord doesn't appreciate those who kindle strife, and he does not appreciate those who separate brethren. Not into that at all. That can cause an abomination. So think. Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it even necessary? Is it kind? Kind. We extend the Lord's invitation. I know I haven't said much to those outside of the body of Christ, but if you're here tonight, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never begin your walk with Christ, the only way you can do that is to, as Nicodemus was told, be born again. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you need the help of the church to start your walk with Christ, then by all means, we need to help you in that. You come forward and make it known. If you need help, if you're under the way, you need the prayers of the church, please come forward and make that known as well. While together we'll stand and sing.